ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Ian Stouffer with Goalkeeper U. Let me tell you how much fun it was talking to another Ian. I can't tell you how giddy I got inside by saying, Ian, how are you? Or our correspondence before the interview. So besides that, the interview was phenomenal in my opinion. Ian talks about his program that he runs and what is involved. And we kind of covered a high level and low, kind of deep dived in some areas. I do have some bad news going forward with my podcast. That anything more than an hour length in recording, I'm going to have to break up into two parts because of editing purposes. So from here on out, if I have more than an hour of a recording of an episode, I'm going to have to break it up or find a way to edit out stuff out of it that weren't really high level of importance. But besides that, let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hey guys, this is Coach Ian Stouffer. I'm with the Goalkeeper U. It's a goalkeeper-specific academy based in Frisco, Texas. Been at it here since 2008 or so in the North Texas market.
Awesome. So with Goalkeeper U, so what? Obviously it's goalkeeping. It's pretty simple. But what is your main drive and focus with the community with Goalkeeper U?
I saw a need in goalkeeper education a few years ago. I did have a much larger soccer coaching company called Soccer Shots. It was a franchise. I was one of the first franchise owners in the country. Started that up in 2008 here in DFW. Mid 2015, 2016 or so, I had some success coaching my own kids and a few others here and there. And I saw that I did things a bit differently than most of the other coaches. I observed a lot of coaching sessions throughout the years there as a staff coach, as in Soccer Shots with multiple clubs. And I thought, this is something that I think that I can make a difference with. So I started up my own goalkeeping academy, very small, obviously, 2015, 2016, right in there. And it just exploded from there. But I just saw that, you know what, I think that I can make be a positive influence and do something a bit differently than most of the other coaches I saw were doing. So I took it and ran.
So what is your soccer journey then? So this is where you're at now, but where did it all start? Where is the beginning?
Okay, yeah. So I played growing up here in CFPSA. If you've been around here, that's Carrollton Farmers Ranch Soccer Association. Cox, McKinnish, as a little guy. Got really into baseball through middle school and what have you. And then in high school, I started playing again, soccer. Never played club here in DFW, which is hard for most people to believe. And when I get into these conversations, because I'm so in-depth here in the community now, I don't remember that club. I don't remember that coach, but I know most of the players now that have made it and now are coaches, but I didn't do that. But in high school, one of the goalkeepers, the head goalkeeper, got in trouble, probably drugs or something, and was suspended. And the coach said, hey, you want to come play varsity keeper? I was like, nah, okay. It's my sophomore year. And I did that, was really successful. Never had one lesson. I'm pretty small for a goalkeeper, 5'8" and a half or so. I had to teach myself, be really smart about the position, which I think makes for a good coach. I think most coaches are those that weren't the superstar players. They're those that really had to work hard at it, really had to love and learn the position to specialize as much as I do, and as a lot of other goalkeeper coaches in the community do. So did that, got all the accolades, this and that. I had a scholarship offer in Odessa, Texas. I didn't want to take that. All my friends were going to Texas Tech. So I went there, played club ball there, went to a few national championships in NCSA, which is obviously not NCAA, Title IX, what have you. But we trained and with the girls team there, the D1 team back in the day, and did that for a while. Then when I moved to Colorado right after graduation, I got into just doing your normal everyday business. Sorry, corporate world jobs like everyone else does whenever you're 22, 23. And then I had a parent reach out, hey, we need a sub coach. And this was for 5-year-old girls. And I had a little bit extra time. I didn't have kids of my own at the time. So I started doing that and I fell in love with that. And I'm like, man, I really love coaching. And then I started doing a couple private goalkeeper sessions here and there. Then I got associated with a club called Colorado Storm, which is now Colorado Rapids. And I started a program called Sparks. I wrote curriculum for U3 to U5, the little Sparks, which was fit in with Colorado Storm. And I ran that program, which is a recreational program that is fits right under a competitive club program, which that's a whole other story and ball of wax that I can get into later with my journey here in North Texas. But so I started that up. Loved that. Then I started taking competitive teams on. I was still working in construction, corporate construction, residential construction. But then as my kids came along and grew up, I started coaching them like most soccer dads do. Market crashed and the housing market in 2008 or so in Denver, moved back to Dallas and then became a full-time coach. I came down here. I was working with Quinn Willis, Wilco Revstein with Club Classic and Texas Spirit coaching there. Started working with Joe Wagoner with Keeper Zone. This was 2008 or so. So I did full-time coaching at the time. That's when I was kind of like completely immersed in soccer and coaching when I moved back down here to the DFW area. And then I wanted to get my teaching certification. I was in an alt cert and then was scrolling through my BlackBerry. You remember those? In one of the big, massive classroom settings, amphitheater type deal. Found Soccer Shots. That was August of 2008. And then 2 weeks later, I was a franchisee and a small business owner for the first time and was still coaching on the side too to supplement. But I was able to build that up eventually enough to run that business full time. Did that for 12 years until COVID. But like I said, I started this, the Goalkeeper U. It was actually called Double Star Goalkeeping initially in 2015, 2016. And it was really just based around the success of my own daughter at the time. And she was doing very well, one of the best in the state. And I gained some others, and then word of mouth, and it was 6, and then it was 60, and then it was 100, right? So that's what I do now full time.
That's impressive.
I kind of rambled there a little bit. Yeah.
No, you're good. That's the point of this. It's to hear the story and hear what you have to say. You went to go get, I just find this fascinating. So you went to go get your teaching certificate.
Yeah.
Is that so you could go coach at a high school? Because I've learned in the state of Texas, in order to be a high school coach, you have to be a school employee.
Affirmative. That's exactly the case. Unfortunately, I didn't want to go that route, but I thought, okay, this would be something I can do as a full-time gig and then have soccer shots on the side. But yes, so I did. I got my alternative certification through Texas Teachers. I could still right now go and teach. I've done a lot of substitute teaching. I was a long-term sub at one point. So I've done some of that in elementary schools. And it's fun. I love kids, obviously, based on my story and impacting, you know, youth at a young age, especially developing a love for being active, being outdoors, anti-video game, anti-couch, get outside. Anyways, yeah, I went and I got my alternative Texas certification. So I have that if I ever need it. But the business grew so large so quickly, it obviously didn't make sense financially for me to go and do that.
I get it. I just find it interesting. I have a friend that's he has a day job, and he goes substitute teach one day a week so he can go coach high school.
Okay.
So he can go coach high school soccer. I'm like, that's pretty smart.
It is. If I had that opportunity, that wasn't one that was available at the time, or I just wasn't smart enough to find it, one of the two, I would have done that for sure. I see the high school soccer. My kids both went through it. They're now in college, or two of my kids. Yeah, I was like, man, I think I can make a real difference here. But it didn't work out for me.
So I'm going to go back to soccer shots. So a goalkeeping, or is that an overall soccer program that you ran there with that business?
It's overall soccer. Yeah. Since it's for kids ages 2 to 6, it's a fantastic program. I really love, I haven't been involved in it. I sold my franchise in 2020, right at COVID, but yes, it's all soccer specific, fantastic curriculum. I was on the curriculum committee there for 2 years. We have mini programs for ages 24 to 35 months. And then you have your classic, which is ages 3 and 4. And then you have premier for ages 4 to 6. It's just different curriculums. It's all progressive. It's 10 to 16 weeks, depending on these. Operate primarily in daycares and preschools. Probably 60% or so of my business was there. And then we have our parks programs, our outdoor programs. So city parks, recreation centers, that type of thing. And it's just a great intro. It's all fun. No competition, right? The premier program has scrimmaging. So we're introducing the concept of teamwork, but that's ages 4, 5, and 6. Before then, there's none of that. It's all just lower body motor skill development, coordination, just having fun, being cheered on, hearing your name, all those things that little ones love. And it's just so important to, in today's age, in my opinion, to create a positive first experience for being active, for their first organized sports experience, right? And that's what Soccer Shots is. And so I took that very seriously. And every coach I hired, including Joe, we had to, it's utmost importance, right? This is a crazy amount of responsibility you have. I know this isn't the big time. You're not really coaching, right? You're just coordinating fun. I called it you're a fun coordinator, right? But you're developing a love for being active, getting out there. And soccer's a gateway sport here in this country for the most part. So it's usually the first experience for most little ones.
That's great. I find it fascinating just because my kids are 10 and 6. So it's learning more about what's going on. And this actually ties in what was just said over the weekend. This is going to probably date this episode now when we're recording it. But with Landon Donovan saying how U.S. soccer is broken, it's a disaster. And how do we fix it? And I always chuckle because these folks are part of the problem. Like, how do we fix the problem in the United States? And everyone that has a good understanding of the background of what's really going on, it is the ones that need to hear it aren't going to listen to this. And if they do, we're lucky. But they're the ones that need the guidance and to understand, like, it's supposed to be fun. And it's not just soccer anymore. It is baseball, football, basketball at young ages. It's turning into little Johnny, little Susie needs to be a winner at all costs.
Yeah.
And and it's just not soccer. This is the focus of this podcast, but it's a issue in the United States, and I see it mostly in soccer because that's where my life evolves around. And we have programs like you have, and there's other programs out there. I'm going to give the rec programs and programs like I-9 where it's designed to teach the basics understanding of the game to be more, to make them have a good foundation. And I don't know where to go. And from the sounds of it, that's where you spent your time. It's not the older kids. It's the, what I call the critical years.
Yeah, absolutely.
From U11 and younger is the critical years. And those are the years where true development matters. And so did you run into the cases with these like soccer shots and the other programs that you've ran where parents are truly obsessed with only winning and would leave if you guys aren't winning? Or is it, were you able to have that chance to have that dialogue with parents to educate them on, look, if you want your kid to be successful, it's no different than building your house. If you don't have the foundation, you can't move anywhere. Or is it bigger, stronger, faster mentality? And
no. Okay. Yeah. You've got the right idea. Obviously at those younger ages, the critical years, as you put them so quite rightly, their little psyches are so fragile, right? If they have a negative experience, if mom or dad are yelling from the sideline, if coach barks something at them, if they end up crying, that could ruin it for them forever, right? It's that important. They could be 4 years old and have that memory when mom and dad say, hey, Susie up the street's playing on the sparklers, but now she's 6 years old. Do you want to go play? Right? And she's no. She just doesn't like it, right? So it's just because she has that one negative memory. So yeah, it's all about fun. And then the fun part will breed the, I want to do this more, right? And then once they get good, because they're doing it more, they have success. And then once they have success, they have even more fun and become more passionate about it. So those kids that make it through and are special are typically those that did it the right way, right? They had that success at a young age because it was fun initially. So they wanted to do it more. So they started doing it at home in their free time. They had a ball in their right beside their bed and they got up, and when they went to brush their teeth, they just moved the ball from the bed to the bathroom, or they tried to move it down the stairs without losing control or whatever it may be. And then obviously when they get out onto the field, on the pitch, they're having more success. And then if you have success at a young age, and now I'm moving on from the 3 to 4 to the 5 to 6, then you become passionate about it. Then the joy happens, right? It's just not as difficult and it's not a job, right? Mom and dad aren't yelling. Coach isn't yelling because you're the star player, right? You're the one that always goes to get the ball and brings it, you know, back the other way. If you go watch, obviously I coached a lot of rec soccer, that kid that always knows which way, where the goal is. And so they just go to the clump, then they control it, and then they move out of the clump and keep control, rather than just kick and run. Anyway, so I didn't want to get into detail there. But yeah, to answer your question, it starts with the fun and obviously gets into the success, which creates the joy and passion.
I always say that. You say about the joy and fun. I think back, because I coached my son at 5 and 6, and I coached my daughter about 4 years old. And it was always about fun and having a good time. It was when you're coaching, it was never about raising your voice. I remember we did our first tournament with my son's team, and I have two yelling voices. I have my yelling voice, which doesn't carry. And okay. I have my dad's yelling voice, which carries, and it makes kids cry. And we're in a tournament, and I couldn't get my son's attention. And so yelling, because the parents are crazy on the sidelines, and it's at a tournament, and we're backed up to multiple different fields. And needless to say, I used my dad's yelling voice, and my son was in tears. And the other coach and I looked at each other like, we aren't doing any more tournaments. This is too much stress for a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds. There's no point of putting them under this stress load at this young of age.
100% agree. Yeah, heavy competition like that, tournament style settings, crowds and people yelling and telling them to go this way and that way, obviously, isn't, in my opinion, great for kids that age. That's going to come quite a bit later, in my opinion. But hey, man, I'm guilty of that as well. I've done that exact same thing with my own kids. Raised my voice, they weren't listening to me. And then it gets a little personal and you can't help it. And all of a sudden, and I was young and I learned from it. You learned from it. If I had another child now, I don't think I'd make that same mistake, but I certainly made it for sure. And I think most dad coaches do the same, or mom coaches.
And that was the thing. Looking back now as a parent, my behavior on the sideline, I don't yell at my son. I don't yell at my daughter. Maybe to hustle or move, but I'm not going to give them directions. I just want them to put an effort in. My problem is referees, and it's don't yell at my kids, don't coach my kids. My wife and I have a firm stance on that about coaching our kids. Let them, let the coach do it, or I'll say something. But my major problem is referees. And I had a big milestone this past weekend, partly because we had company with us watching a game, and my wife was recording the whole entire game. So it was two games back to back. I never said anything. And then we went to an FC Dallas this past weekend match, and I never yelled at a ref once, which was a first probably all season.
The big boys?
The big boys, Saturday. The pros. We're three rows up, so the refs can hear me yell at them. And four rows up.
Yeah, that AR on it's always the same guy, and he's on the west side there.
Yes.
Yeah, that AR down. Yeah, he's. I think you probably know which one I'm talking about.
Yep, I'm always yelling at him. And one time, I listen to a lot of podcasts and conversations, so learning about the referee world and has motivated me as a parent wanting to get into the refing world, but at the same time, I don't want to miss any of my kids' stuff, so it's like a rock and a hard place with that. Because maybe I'll be quiet more.
Yeah, it's not easy, and I still struggle with that. When it comes to the big boys, I still struggle. I'm watching my daughter on TV. I'm on TV. I'm in my own living room, but I yell quite a bit, right? If someone was recording me, I'd be very embarrassed, right? And if you're not embarrassed after someone recorded you yelling at a kid or a ref or whatever, you are one unique individual, right?
Yes.
It's got to be, it's certainly embarrassing. But if I'm in my own living room yelling at the TV, different story.
That's a whole different. Just don't throw a chair at it, which we've seen happen in TikTok videos. Back to you and your journey here. How did you decide to start Goalkeeper U? You said it was double star goalkeeping, and it grew from there. And then did you transition into Goalkeeper U, or did you always have that name in the background, or was it a mix where you had striking, finishing, and striking and goalkeeping in one? Because I feel like they go hand in hand. Or did
they do.
Or did you just strictly start and focus on keeping because there's a need for it?
Yeah. So double star goalkeeping, it's a kind of a boring, simple explanation. That was just the name of my LLC was Double Star Soccer for, I don't know how I came up with that. I think I was a Dallas Stars fan and a Dallas Cowboys fan. I can't remember, but it was just, that was my LLC I came up with whenever I started Soccer Shots back in 2008. I formally started the business of double star goalkeeping when, again, my daughter was having a lot of success and people kept asking, and I was coaching her and one or two others here and there that were residual from, I mentioned earlier, Keeper Zone from back in the day. And those kids went on to play college ball. And so they saw the success that the goalkeepers I was training were having. And they being just parents around, it started with FC Dallas. My daughter happened to be there at the time and I got a handful there and it just grew from there. So I only recently in 2023, I believe, or maybe late 2022, I can't remember, changed the name, the DBA, to the Goalkeeper U. And I did that because I had so many parents randomly call it the Goalkeeper U. All right. So the style that I run my sessions, it's a classroom style setting, right? It's very cerebral. The position is very cerebral. That's the more cerebral than any on the field because you're given time to analyze a lot more than you are when you're in the field. When you're in the outfield. So everything that's coming at you, when it's going away from you, just thinking about what your role is on the field. I tell my keepers, your job is not to block the goal, right? Your job is to control the game, right? That's your job. And obviously it comes down to lots of different smaller pieces that fit under that just general mantra to control the game. But yeah, it's just, so my sessions, if you're ever to watch one, they stand out from anybody else that I've seen. And it's not bragging. It's just, I'm an extremist this one way. Whenever I do my philosophy for goalkeeper coaching, it's literally a classroom style setting. You're in a classroom. You're never in a line. You're always answering questions. You're filling different roles as a defender, as a midfielder, as an attacker. So it's all game real scenario. There are no drills, right? Everything I do from even my warm up into my dynamic tactical setup at the end of every session, it's all progressive. And it's classroom style, right? Lots of why, I'm asking how someone that's observing in the field, okay, how would you have done this? You saw how she did this. How would you do this? That maybe I'll ask the keeper directly. How could you have made that easier on yourself? What was it about that rep that was phenomenal, right? It's never not your turn. You learn just as much from watching as doing. So you watch every rep, right? And then you listen to the positives and or negatives, and you apply that to your own rep when you're in goal, right? And there's a lot of rotation, a lot of field play. So it's very cerebral, a lot of question asking. I have whiteboard. So we have during water breaks, we go over the tactical, whatever the tactical aspects of that particular week of curriculum is. That's why it's called the Goalkeeper U. And again, parents kept on calling it. I had random parents, they didn't know each other, but they were like, oh, this is the Goalkeeper U. And so I was like, shoot, it sounds great. Is the domain available? And I was like, okay, I'll take it. So I completely rebranded. So this is the Goalkeeper U, right? It's the old double star goalkeeping logo. And then I got the U around it. And I thought of Miami, the U and all of that. So that's what the logo is, gold and black and white. So
I love it.
That's how I got that. Yeah.
Now, with that being said, is it group sessions, private sessions, or do you cover small groups, large groups and individuals, or how do you break it down?
I've done it all over the years. I've had groups of 80 and I've had privates, semi-privates. Currently, I'm offering privates and semi-private sessions, but it's primarily 90% of what I do is small group training. And that's because it's the most effective, right? If you look at the back of my shirt here, right? That's my effective that's the tagline for what we do. What I want my goalkeepers to be, I want them to be effective. They're not there to block the goal. They're affecting the match. I totally lost my train of thought. What was your question? I'm sorry, Ian.
The group sizes. No, you're fine. The group sizes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So small group settings. So mostly small group, as I mentioned, I have intro small group, which is novice goalkeepers or 2016 birth year and younger, believe it or not. I have 7-year-olds out there with me. And then I have a junior small group, which is 2015 to 2013. Then I have select 2013 to 2011, advanced 2011 plus. And I have one day a week, I have a master's group. Those that have been with me more than a year that are 2009 and older. All the curriculum is basically the same up until the master's, just that it's higher pace as far as in session. There's a lot more talking and working through the technical aspects of the curriculum at the younger ages. And it's more focused on the tactical aspects on the older age groups. Just as I was a team coach for many years. I was with, I told you, Club Classic, and my goodness, I said that earlier. So anyway, so I've coached with Solar, with Liverpool, with FC Dallas, and I told you the Colorado ones. It's the same thing. As you get older, right, your focus goes from heavy technical to heavy tactical, right? So if you're coaching, training teams at a higher level, you are at U11 through U13, you're going to be 70% technical, 30% tactical. And by the time you get to U15, 16, and then 17, 18, obviously you're going to be way up into the tactical area. You're going to do rondos and what have you to start some passing patterns. But in the older age groups, you're going to go into the more tactical style training. So you're thinking about what you're doing, because by then you're through the golden years of development and you should have most of that at the higher levels, at least you should have that tactical aspect of your game pretty much down or mastery.
Do you still with the younger age groups, because looking at even the pros and how much the game has changed for a keeper over the last 20 years, I'll say 30 years. It's amazing. Looking at it from the early 90s to now, the role of a keeper has completely changed. They used to just be a shot blocker. Now they are one of the best, if not fittest, players on the pitch. On top of that, they have some of the best, a lot of them have some of the best foot skills on the team and best read of the match. So what age do you continue? Let me rephrase this. Do you continue focusing on individual foot skills all the way through all age groups, or do you push that to be the outside of your sessions and more work on goalkeepers tactics versus the foundation, the mechanics of every keeper needs to have a good foot on them?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, the foundation of goalkeeping. And by the way, I'll go back a skosh here. I do for the intro through advanced, I have 16 weeks of curriculum. I repeat that every 4 months or so on average. And we start, once we start, like week one, for example, is foundational movement, right? So that's the foundation of goalkeeping. And I implant that into a seven-year-old goalkeeper, right? It's not about this, right? You can have, you have to have success here. You have to have success there, down, right? Your movement, maintaining balance as we move across the goal, different types of movements that we make. It's mostly lateral, right? But we move forward diagonally, we recover, right? As we do that, we always have a foundation for our upper body, and lower body is the foundation of the position technically, right? So I plant that in at a young age. Now, to your question about footwork and controlling the ball in the game, yes, I have several weeks of handling the ball in high pressure scenario, effective counterattack. And I do that with my seven-year-olds, with my intro session as well. Obviously, it's a kind of a watered down compared to what I do a few hours later in the same night with my advanced kids. Yes, that's something that is implemented at a very young age, right? This is the way the position is played. Your first session with me, right? You need to get out of your head that you're there to block the goal. We need to control the game. And when we come down to actually shot stopping, we're controlling the ball, three types of handles. Block is not one of them. Blocking is not anything a goalkeeper does, right? They catch, parry, or punch, right? So you need to get the block out of your head, right? Maintain balance, right? So it's super duper foundational, my curriculum at the very start, and it starts at a very young age. Now, when I get into the part of my curriculum where we're discussing effective counterattack and high pressure possession, right? That's towards the end, right? So that's going to be way down the line. But always we build upon what we learn. Like I mentioned a few times, everything's progressive. The curriculum's progressive in the 16 weeks, and each session is progressive from simple to dynamic. Yes, it's a high point of emphasis, even at the youngest age, as far as just how the position's played. At the highest levels, the goalkeeper is the most athletic, has the highest IQ overall, is the best ball striker. So these are things that we have to really focus on, right? I get down to, with my olders, when it comes down to it, it's you versus the other keeper, and then there's a bunch of action in between. They're chess pieces, and you move them and control them, right? And that's not a viewpoint of anyone other than a goalkeeper, I understand, including head coaches. But that's the way that we look at it, and I want my kids to look at it, right? Once they can grasp that concept and understand, that's not something that I talk to with the littles about, but...
Oh, come on.
So my verbiage,
7-year-olds don't understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Did you say 11 or 7?
Seven. Seven.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. That goes back to the whole 3-year-olds in a scrimmage. They don't know what team is, right? What, pass? No, I'm going to get the ball and I'm going to kick it as hard as I can. Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's obviously something you have to combat at the younger ages, but yeah, obviously it's the same curriculum, but it's taught in different ways. And I've been doing it so long now that it's just second nature, which is, I think, what a lot of parents see value in.
Now, looking at this from a parent perspective, do you give a parent education or form so they understand this is what we're doing at this age group, this is what we're doing at this age group? The way I think you had it broken down to 5 groups, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah,
the 5, that's right. The 5 different age groups that you have it broken down to. Do you give a leaflet or some type of pamphlet for parents to understand the curriculum? Because as a parent, the more we understand what our kids are doing, the more we're able to help them and give encouragement. It's like my daughter has decided she wants to be a goalie, and the rationalization she gives is because she doesn't want to run.
Yeah. And that's a lot of the youngers are like that. Right. And that's okay. There are plenty of goalkeepers that have had a ton of success. They have, this is the exact same story. Right. When they were 7 or whatever, they like, I don't want to do that running. I'm going to get the goal. I love the sport. Right. And I'm just naturally defensive minded, whatever it may be. Those are the kids that end up in back. And that's absolutely okay. But yes, going back to your question, I don't have a pamphlet or leaflet or anything like that. It's laid out in my site. And one thing that I do differently than most, and this is something I couldn't do when I was coaching the Solar, if you've been to ATF. Parents, stay way over here. This is your spot. And then I want my parents on the field. So I operate out of Pitt Frisco right now. I encourage all, especially new parents that are new to me. I tell them, right, as the kids come up, I'm like, come out here with us. I know it says right there, parents aren't allowed on the field. That's during, this is my space now. I have the net up and everything. You're free to come out here, right? That's during games. So I want them to hear the verbiage, see my style firsthand, because sometimes it's hard to hear behind the glass. Obviously, when I'm outdoors, they can hear it. I have a coach's voice that does carry. I've been doing it so long. But when you're with littles or you're in an environment like the pit, you really have to elevate your voice. regardless, they get understanding in that way. I do a lot of communication. I do weekly communication with them via social media, GroupMe chat, emails. I offer parent conferences. I do a formal parent conferences once a year, 30-minute block. You and I face to face. You can bring the kid as well, the athlete. And I'm always free. So I define myself and what I do as a partner, not a coach. I'm a partner in your child's development and journey, right? So I am always there to analyze film. You can send me clips of anything. If I'm there, I'll go out and watch. I'm always free. You can reach out at any time with any questions, concerns. I'll set time aside. This is my full-time job now. I'm there for all of my goalkeepers and families, and I grow to love them. I've had some for 7-8 years now. Most of them are obviously repeat customers. I hate to say customers, but technically they're. So whenever I reach out to my community, they're family. So like I just set out on Monday morning, good morning, GK family, right? Or GKU family. I did it again this morning in an email, right? When I'm addressing everybody. So they're all, it's part of a family. And like I said, I'm a partner, not just a coach. I'm not a trainer. I don't do fitness. I don't do run this way, get across the goal, jump over that cone, make a diving save, run across the goal. It's not realistic. And so one of my monikers I put down under a lot of my messages is realism is greater than reps. We want to focus on game real scenario. I want those parents out there with me so they can understand the philosophy and what I do. And most of them, they come for the first time and they've been to other goalkeeper. And most of them, in my opinion, are trainers, which those are positives too. And there's positive aspects to those folks as well. But I'm a great compliment to that. And it's eye-opening to most parents when they come see not just what I'm teaching. It's the same position that their kid was being taught over there, but just the way that I do it. I don't know. I suppose I don't have a complete breakdown about what's different here, and here, but it's always been self-explanatory, and it is laid out on my website, which I don't know how many parents actually read those things. But.
So from what I'm gathering is you have your philosophy from the younger ages because if they start with you at a younger age, they get the same lesson plan as the player might get while they're out on the pitch training. And as they advance through your keeper program, it's like you said, it's just a foundation. It builds upon itself. So the general knowledge is there. It's just the intensity level changes as it should with age.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. What I've found over the years, and I have 26 goalkeepers that went on to play college ball in the last 6 years that have been through my programs for multiple years, is that it's not just the best athlete. It's about presence. And that's what I teach. If you ask any college coach, you know, what they're looking for in a goalkeeper, it's going to be based on presence, right? You have a sense of calm. You're always in the right spot. You're always, the leadership is there. You've gained the respect of everybody, right? They're confident in playing the ball back to you, right? You can make quick decisions. The goalkeepers I teach over the years, you'll see the difference when they make to the high level. They're not those that make the flashy saves and have to dive because really they're not even allowing the shots to come at them. I do a lot on situational positioning, reading the game there, identifying worst case scenario, utilizing insurance. And these are all things, obviously, that I have to really break down and take a long time. Just those terms should give you the idea, right? So my goalkeepers have presence, right? And just if they've done that throughout the years, and I've had kids that started me at age 8, now that are playing in college, and they're just always in the right spot, and they just don't allow the shots to happen is what happens, right? So I don't know. It's hard for most people to understand, but this position is often taught in reverse. And I've said that for years, just something that I've always seen, right? You start with the flashy save, right? And you're always out of position, right? You're never balanced, right? You don't know how to recognize and organize. But, you can make the flashy save across the goal. And everyone's like, whoa, you're out of position in the first place. My keeper would have taken one step to the left and just caught it right at the forehead. And then we're off and running. So it's not the flashy, right? It's the foundational, as you mentioned. It's like in basketball, right? Just the slam dunk or the three-point shot, right? It's not the drive and pass. It's not pulling a defender this way to play the ball that way. And by the way, goalkeepers do that a lot as well, right? When we're in effective counterattack, right, sessions, or playing ball under high pressure with feet, right? we're thinking about the tactics of what we're doing, right? We're creating space for our next player. This position, the sport is about possession, right? What do we see most goalkeepers do at a younger age? They'll get the, they'll make the save, they'll run to the top of the box right in the center, and they'll punt it as far as they can right up the center of the field. And then the play, it's a ping pong match, and it'll come right back out. And obviously that's something that we try to avoid. And that's just another part of the presence piece. I don't know. And again, I'm rambling a little bit. I can go on for a long time. This is my first really talked about what I do in a setting like this.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. I know it kind of just erupts like they always do when I just cut them off, but we'll continue this chat next week. And I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode and what we've covered so far. Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.